This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. My guest this week is Sihle Senkosi Majola, the managing director of a startup called Popping. Now, Popping has positioned itself as the intermediary between small business owners looking to gain access to pop-up markets and retail spaces and market runners looking to fill their markets with new, exciting small businesses with products to sell. Welcome to the pod, Sihle Senkosi, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Really grateful to be here.
Of course, let's have that conversation about Popping and what you guys do. I have touched a bit on your key mandate, which, as I understand it, is to give small businesses a viable route to the marketplace. But can you please explain to us how exactly you go about doing that?
Yes. As Popping, we allow shopping centers, market organizers, and also schools and hotels to list their markets on our platform, where small businesses are able to find them. Usually what we've seen is that most exhibition spaces are too expensive for small businesses to book independently. And a lot of small businesses turn to pop-up markets for them to be able to find their first real customer base. We've seen a lot of businesses come into the market not having done any pop-up market before. And because they now are part of this market space, they're able to sell their products and they start using pop-ups as a viable option for them to be able to get their first big customer base before they start opening online stores and physical stores and shopping centers.
So if you can just briefly explain for us how that relationship of getting the business and the market organizers connected, how that works just once more. Would a business, for instance, have to go onto your website and fill out a form and then kind of see if they qualify for a certain market? Can you please just walk us through that part?
Yes. So we have it in two ways. The first one will be either a shopping center or a school lists their venue in order for markets to be hosted on it. The second part is when a person already has their own market, they then come onto our platform. So for listed venues, the market organizer will then book that venue once they've been accepted by the event, by the landlord. They are then able, we then list that market on our platform, or if they have their own market, they then list that market on our platform through our listing form. We then vet the market, and then we then upload it on our platform for vendors to book. Once uploaded, small businesses are then able to find the market, find more information about it, see other reviews from small businesses about how they found the market when they were part of it, and then able to book a store for that particular market. It really is a really good way for them to be able to vet markets before they fully commit to it, because at some stage you find that sometimes small businesses will book a market, they go there, there's really no customers at that market, or they go there, they have a bad experience during that market. And what you're trying to do is trying to create an even field so that market organizers can get access to markets without having a pre-existing small business database, but also small businesses can view markets, can view the reviews of those markets, and then can be able to be part of those markets if they want.
Sihle, I imagine then this needs you to constantly be updating your systems, refreshing and kind of vetting the businesses and the market organizers to ensure that the integrity of your system. Stays true and it serves the purpose that you would want it to. How does that process work of constantly vetting and checking and making sure that markets are still operating and businesses are still wanting to have a spot there and people are visiting?
One of the things that we do is that we maintain a consistent flow of markets. We market outside to at communities of market managers for them to be able to come on our platform and list. At times, we also go out and view and look for markets that would be a good fit and demographic to our database of vendors and then bring them on board to list them on our platform for them to get bookings. From the market organizer side, when a small business books for their markets, they are able to, by a click of a button, accept or reject that market, where a pre-existing information is populated and sent to small business, whether their market has been rejected or not. This allows for less tedious processes of back and forth calling of whether a person does fit the demographic. The market organizer is able to see the business's name, the social media, their product images, their description, and a website, and be able to really vet the business so that they can be able to have a good fit for their market. The same thing process as well goes for booking the venue from the market organizer, because the person who owns the venue will then be able to see, is this the kind of market I want in my space? Will it be able to groom the people that I want using my venue? And in that way, they're able to say, I like this market. I want to be part of it. They accept it. And then the market organizer will then pay for the particular store. What we've done in order to be able to really, really vet is what we realized that there's a big, very strong caliber of small businesses in South Africa. And that caliber of small businesses are gravitating towards Popping because we're offering them access at a very easy pace of booking versus the traditional norms to currently occur in the market, where market organizers use Google Forms to be able to vet bookings. There's no way of them to respond to the small business. They don't do customer service properly. They aren't able to manage when businesses are canceling or want to be able to shift to another market that they might be managing. So what we try to do is have everything in one platform. So it's easier for the small business to make a proper decision when they have one weekend, payday weekend, and they say they want to go to this market or this market and be able to book and see whether they qualify for it.
And Sitle, I'm interested in the attitude of the small businesses that you work with. Are you finding that they're making use of this pop-up store format to grow their business in a sense of trying to boost sporadic sales in a short period of time? Or do you find it's more about building brand awareness in search of a longer-term customer base that may not be as exciting as the one-time sales upshoot, but instead looking for consistent sales growth?
So it usually depends on the market. What we've realized is a lot of the small businesses are looking for that consistent customer who's going to be coming back to them over a long period of time. Usually they'll go to a one spot venue, be it if a school is hosting a pop-up market, they'll go and be able to sell their products to those particular students. But they'll also give out their contact details. They'll give out their social media information so that the customer can return to them at a later stage when they're not in that particular location. Because there are usually two types of markets. There's a market that happens sporadically that usually pops up at a shopping center or pop up at a park. Then there's those markets that happen every weekend or once a month. In those ones, they want to be there because customers end up knowing that every single weekend in this particular spot, I know that she's available and I can go and collect my products at her store. So it's really creating a strong customer base. What we've also seen is that a lot of small businesses actually get a majority of their small business revenue from markets, more than e-commerce and more, ideally, more than e-commerce. Because unless they have access to a retail store where they're selling, their only way of engaging with the customer at first point is a market outside of booking an exhibition space, which will usually be cost them about 7,000 going up. But for a market, it starts from as little as 150 Rand a store.
I'm glad you mentioned the aspect of e-commerce, because I really wanted to have discussed that point with you about how technological advances and your e-commerce advances have affected the in-person pop-up market concept. I mean, we know that businesses now have the benefit of social media, trading platforms like you take a lot, Uber Eats, Mr. Delivery, depending on what you're looking for and how far you're trying to get. And I'm wondering how that kind of affects the will of people to want to be at a market and that strong connection with customers. Do you find it's something that small businesses are moving away from and looking more to technology instead of the in-person interaction?
What we found is that small businesses are accommodative of both. So they will have their e-commerce website where they're able to get sales during the week as the week continues. But on a weekend, they will always book a market for them to be able to get the large amount of sales. Even though e-commerce is very prevalent in the industry, in terms of the surveys we've done with our small businesses, we've realized that usually e-commerce amounts to about 20% to 20% of their monthly sales. And mainly 80% of their sales usually come from these markets. Because when they come to the market and they open up, they can get sales from the morning up until the afternoon. If a market is 3 days or 2 days, they know to get more sales from that particular market. If the market is packed, they know that they'll be able to really sell out some of their products. But for e-commerce, you'll find that they'll be saying two or three items per day before they're able to close out the week. But within the market industry, they can sell 12 products in a day, up to 20 products in the particular day, as long as their store is attractive, they have a good customer rapport, and they're already known within that. I can share many examples of other small businesses that we have worked with in the markets industry that have been able to make great returns from it just by coming to a market for one weekend.
And I'm wondering how far across the country does Popping span? Are you working just in Gauteng, or is it a national effort?
We are currently based in Gauteng, but we are expanding across the country as of next year. This ideally because we are an aggregator platform first, and we are accommodating all markets and all market vendors across the country. Over the last 2 years, we've been focusing on building our product, making sure that we have the right vendors, we have the right venues, we have the right market managers on our platform. And as we grow, we're setting up a standard that this is the standard we want from all of our market managers and small businesses as we expand across the country. But currently, we are operating in Gauteng. I can just make an example of as this weekend, as a partnership that we've done with Redefine, we're doing heritage markets in three of their shopping centers, one in Benmore, one in Mark Mall of the South, and one in Park Meadows. And these markets are sponsored markets that's in collaboration with Redefine. And this is where Popping is coming in and saying, here's an opportunity for small businesses to get access to these spaces at a much lower cost so that they can be able to sell over the long weekend.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, as you mentioned that, which areas are you then targeting to grow into? I mean, I can imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's important to have locations that are open to tourism, and even if it's local tourism, people moving around, those kinds of locations would be attractive for you guys to grow into. Is that correct?
Yes. So the couple of locations we have been looking at are Cape Town as the next big area that we're going to be going to, as there's already a strong market culture in Cape Town. And so adoption of our platform will be much higher, and specifically because of the adoption of technology as well. The next one was Durban. As already there, we've seen the market in Durban. We've seen where the markets are happening, and we already have an understanding of what the market is like within the Durban area. Then the last one we were looking at is Mpumalanga. The reason why we're speaking of Mpumalanga is because there is a culture there of events, and ideally markets are a very strong culture, are a very strong part of that event culture. And we want to be able to expand within that area as well to provide people in Mpumalanga with something that they can be able to also tap into.
I find it interesting that you mentioned some of the places. Obviously, they are attractive tourism-wise. And I think it might be worth asking this question about service delivery and the lack thereof in some parts. We've seen in some parts of Durban reports around poor service delivery, municipalities not functioning as they maybe should. And I wonder how that affects the business. We've seen complaints as well from Johannesburg, Cape Town about municipal rates. We know load shedding is a national issue, some provinces more than others. And then we've also seen water shedding, particularly in Gauteng, being quite an issue. How do these challenges affect your work and how you are able to function?
So as a business, the thing is that as a business, we are an aggregator platform. And mainly there's very few of times where we come in and actually manage a market ourselves. But what we have seen is that with shopping centers, if there's an issue of service delivery and there's no water within that space, it does hamper the market being done there because the market has to close down and we have to be able to exit. And if there's load shedding as well, this also causes a major issue for the markets that are being hosted there because the small businesses, specifically the ones who are selling food, aren't able to access water for them to be able to continue sell food and drinks to their customers. So it does play a major role in us executing good markets. But the one silver lining is most markets are very self-sufficient. We've found that some markets will be had in parks where there's no access to electricity, and all of the small businesses have to have their own gas available and their own water available for that particular market. And due to that self-sufficiency, we've realized that small businesses really, once a market tells them that there's no access to a lot of these things, they really then become very ingenuitive in how they're able to service their customers. And usually that only affects food and drinks vendors. The rest of them, which is now people who are selling arts, craft, fashion, these small businesses are really not affected as much unless the market is predominantly indoors. So most indoor markets, that's one of the biggest disadvantages around them, is that if there's indoor markets, the lighting is a very big factor, air conditioning is a very, very big factor, and then also access to electricity is a very, very big factor. And without those things, they are not able to then properly sell to their customers. So there are aspects of that, but most markets are very self-sufficient. And that is why most of them have lasted so long, because of their self-sufficiency. You find it in Rosebank, Sunday markets, gas is available to the small business for them to be able to cook. You find it in Forest Farmers Market, gas is also being provided to the small businesses for them to be able to make their foods as well. And so within the industry, a lot of self-sufficient businesses come in and they're able to make a lot of money during that period.
Now, I'm just wondering, I mean, it's warmer weather is upon us in the Gauteng area. Not so sure about the coastal provinces. They've had quite a few issues in the past few days with their weather. But I'm sure having warmer weather together with long weekends, like the latest one with Heritage Day, are quite important for your business because they improve the chances of attracting people to the marketplace to support your efforts. I'm wondering what other factors or elements would you say are critical to a successful pop-up market that you've observed?
One of the things that we have observed is when ideally you were tapping into existing communities. So of all the things in terms of having a beautiful sunny day, having access to some form of power within the markets, making sure that there's obviously enough shelter and shading for the customers to be able to enjoy, is also tapping into existing communities. Something that we are also focusing on building as Popping. We were building a community of market lovers who then thrive in coming to markets and enjoying themselves in markets. What we've realized is that the South African consumer is divided into two different consumers. One is a consumer that goes into shopping center to go and buy their products, and the other is a consumer that loves going to markets and going to buy their products. The reason why is that the market experience is much more touch-based. You're speaking to the founder of the business, you're experiencing their product, you're reviewing their craftsmanship, and you're buying that based on the value of the product that they've placed in front of you. And a lot of customers really love that first personal touch versus going into a shopping center and buying something in a till format. So that we've seen that tapping into those existing markets and also understanding the customer base of markets has allowed for more people to go out to markets. This period right now, we're going into the golden quarter, is really great for the small businesses because they know that a lot of markets start happening. Actually, what we've noticed in the industry is that 50% of the markets within a year happen in the last 3 months of the year. As this is a period where a lot of long weekends are happening, small businesses are able to sell, and ideally you find that some markets go for a whole week, some markets go for 3 days, and small businesses are able to really make a majority of their revenue during this period, and it's mainly due to markets.
And there you have it, Sihle Senkosi Majola, the Managing Director of Popping, a startup concerning itself with providing small businesses a route to pop-up markets in retail spaces. Thank you so much, Sihle Senkosi, for joining me and just sharing a little bit about what Popping is doing in the pop-up market.
Thank you so much, Akwena, for having us. And we look forward to more conversation with people who are interested in markets.
Of course, of course. If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast.manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. Until next time, do not forget to support the small business close to you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akhona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.